Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dyan and Troy Hall. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be. You are listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of Radio Free Credit Union Show in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, and we are excited about this show today. With that music, you know we're about to announce, of course, joined as always by the assistant to the host, the COO, the man who knows it all out there in South Carolina, the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, Mr. Troy Hall. How are you this morning, sir?
I am fine, and I am totally pumped today for our show, Jason. We've got so many interesting pieces of information to share with our credit union folks, and I'm doubly excited because for 2 weeks in a row now, we're going to get to talk to one of my favorite people.
And one of mine. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks a lot.
That would be Jason's cue to unmute you. So are you
okay? I'm so sorry, Sarah.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Troy.
Hey, no problem. It's just the wonderment of technology and blog talk radioing and all of that. So we're really excited to have you on the show again. And so you know, and so. You had so much for us and news breaking information last week that was just like phenomenal. So. I think we need to find out, Sarah, what say you?
Well, you know, as you said last week when I was on the show, I told you later that day, September 24th, there would be some huge news coming out of the NCUA, and it did that entire afternoon. Everyone was the NCUA board meeting was a packed room, standing room only. I personally wasn't there. We did have an RDC reporter there. Lots of information coming out of that September 24th board meeting. First was the corporate credit union new regulation, final regulation that the industry has been waiting on for 2 years probably. What the NCUA is doing is they've created these bridge corporates that are going to be continuing regular operations until there is some sort of resolution to them. The bridge corporate charter is allowing the conserved credit unions to maintain operations for their membership until the membership decides whether to recapitalize those corporates or not. At the time when the agency first announced that regulation, you all may remember there were only U.S. Central and WestCorp conserved by the NCUA. In a surprise move, it surprised a lot of the industry apparently, from talking to some CEOs, the agency also conserved that same day at the same time Members United Corporate, Southwest Corporate, as well as Constitution Corporate. Now, the conservatorship of those credit unions wasn't necessarily a surprise, but the actual timing of it all at once with the announcement of the corporate regulation as well as the legacy asset plan was a lot for some CEOs to deal with, I am sure. I can't imagine first you're figuring out how to manage through the corporate regulation and then all of a sudden your corporate is conserved and having to explain that to your volunteers of what that means and It was a huge double whammy for some CEOs last Friday.
For people like us, people that are connected at the credit union, not necessarily, you know, Troy's at the high executive level, but other people, marketing folks, our audience, on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, marketing directors and community development directors, and we have some CEOs that listen in. What does it mean to us, the everyday 8-to-5 credit union employee? What does everything that happened on Friday mean to us on a day-to-day level?
Well, first, I didn't realize assistant to the host of Radio Free Credit Union was this high-level executive position.
It's as high as you get on this show.
But seriously, what it's going to mean to the everyday credit union, probably not a whole heck, the everyday credit union employee, probably not a whole heck of a lot. I wouldn't imagine the credit union is still going to get its corporate, still going to get its services, might get it from that corporate or somewhere else. But, the inner operations for day-to-day work really isn't going to change a whole
right.
lot, other
well,
than maybe where you get your services from.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've seen, Co-op right away announced they were getting into the processing, and I think Kena Mutual is getting into the investment side. And so there are a lot of people stepping up to fill in gaps where there may or may not be corporates in the future. For the day-to-day operations, I can't imagine it would change a whole lot. Maybe even Troy could speak more to that point.
Well, for specifically, the one thing for us that created more attention and buzz than anything else was the Wall Street Journal's headlines about bailout for credit unions. And, that has been the point of contention for me, is the fact that particular article did not journalistically report the way the story was really going. And so what do you think about messaging like that, or what do you think might be helpful for us to consider when we see messaging like that out there?
Well, there are several angles to look at that. First, you've got, the story essentially was accurate. The story itself, the headline, not so much,
right.
with using the term bailout. But then again, credit unions helping themselves doesn't fit very well on one line in a newsprint. So I understand where they're coming from. Bailout is absolutely the wrong term to use, and obviously there is a PR response that needs to be made and actually should have been proactive. And I can't say that there weren't proactive actions taken. I mean, the NCUA, we got a briefing, and Credit Union Times was on a briefing with the Wall Street Journal and with Bloomberg.
Wow.
And so there shouldn't have been a problem there, but it did happen. And so there is obviously a response that needs to be made, too, because I think it was the Bloomberg article in particular did not actually differentiate between the corporates and the natural person credit unions.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point. And if you're just joining us, we're visiting with Sarah Snellcook. She's the editor of the CU Times, and we're talking about that big news, which, Sarah, you said last Friday was the biggest news day of the decade for credit unions. And I must be honest with you, that in itself was a headline, and so it intrigued me, and I stayed connected to that story all day. If we can say that was a big, big day, what does it mean to the credit union marketplace going forward?
Well, in the future, first of all, the NCUA is re-securitizing the legacy assets and selling them on the market. Credit unions are going to be able to purchase those. I'm not sure they'll want to, from talking to several CEOs over the last week. There have been estimates anywhere those bonds might pay anywhere from 70 all the way down to 30 cents on the dollar. But they're going to be backed by the NCUSIF, which means that there's a guarantee on the principal, but there's a very low return. It's sort of like a treasury investment. And
right.
The problem is if the bonds do perform better than they're expected to, which I don't think they will, but if they perform better than they're expected to, it actually does go back to the NCUSIF and then helps the equity ratio there. So it could either lessen the assessments on credit unions, very slim chance, but they could lessen the assessments on credit unions or even create a rebate situation from the NCUSIF. There's also the NCUA in announcing its regulation. It is going to, in response to comments from the first comment period on the corporate regulation, is going to be issuing more regulations regarding the corporate. Well, these are actually in response,
right.
being responsive to the industry. And so there's, you know, I'm trying to find my notes on exactly what they were going to attack in that second round, but there's six different points that they're going to be looking at, including allowing corporates to charge membership fees or requiring credit unions to only join one corporate at a time.
Right.
Having the each vote recorded, so there's a lot more accountability there. It's not necessarily a bad thing. And the also some more internal controls, similar or along the lines of a Sarbanes-Oxley type oversight. And then, you know, from again talking, I talked to probably I don't know a dozen credit union executives over the last week, and one of the things I'm hearing is, out of this bridge corporate structure, there may not be, they've got 24 months to decide whether to recapitalize those corporates or not.
Wow.
They may not need that long.
Wow, yeah, they may
I've
not.
I've heard people jumping ship, you know, now already. You know, they were waiting to see what the final rules would look like, but then now that it is out, they may very well jump ship to another credit union. I talked to one CEO, said she doesn't want to recapitalize her corporate, which was Members United, that was part of the problem, but she is more likely to recapitalize a corporate that that was not part of the problem.
Right.
So, you know, some people sticking with corporates, others looking at other alternatives. I understand that there are some banks and others that are out there aggressively marketing to corporate clients. So the future is going to be very different. There will be a much pared-down corporate system, and the next problem that Koreans are going to be looking at is the natural person lawsuits. big structural
change. Sarah, do you think that for the future that part of this natural evolution is a conversation that we have heard many times before about, you know, just the shrinking of those corporate credit unions? I think you sort of alluded to that in some of your previous comments, but really paring it down to a few, maybe the way the FDIC is actually paring down the Federal Reserve banking system.
Kind of regional systems, yeah.
Yeah. Do you see more of that kind of happening? I definitely think that it has increased for the potential for competition, because I, like you, have read some articles about, you know, where some of the banks are actually getting a little more aggressive and now maybe looking at how they might be able to provide those services that we typically look to the corporate to provide.
Absolutely. There's going to be a consolidation of the corporates. I mean, I've heard, you know, creation of regional corporates, things like that, or possibly even converting corporates to CUSOs. One of the problems I think that the NCUA and credit unions are really going to face is, you know, what corporate has enough capital right now and strong enough right now to merge in a Westcor, to merge in a Members United? There's some significant issues on how those arrangements are going to be made in the long run, because there is absolutely consolidation, possibly to maybe a handful of corporates in the future.
Well, Sarah, listen, I found out this morning you're going to be in Atlantic City this weekend for the New Jersey Credit Union League show.
Yes, actually, I am live now from the National. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm heading to Jersey on Sunday, but I'm right now at the National Association of Credit Union Chairmen's in Baltimore. I kind of forget where I am. In Baltimore right now. And I tell you what, this corporate mess is one of the topics of conversation.
Oh,
because
sure
they're
is.
Really concerned about the indemnification issues and the board education requirements. But, yes, I'm going to be at the New Jersey League starting Sunday.
I will be there on Sunday as well. I'm driving in Sunday with Scott and Owen, our percussionist, and we're going to be opening that show for about 800 folks there in the big banquet hall there at the Taj down on the boardwalk, and I'm just very, very glad to finally get to meet you, because I've never met you in person.
That's right. Many phone calls and emails, but
exactly.
Never in person.
Listen,
that'd be great.
Thank you so much for spending so much time with us. I know you're busy. I know you're on the go. But if it this has been a special segment, if Sarah says, but if you ever want to hear what's happening in the credit union marketplace, Sarah is dialed in, she is plugged in, she is Twittered in, and she joins us every month on the last Friday of the month for her special segment, Sarah Says, and we're very, very happy to get some bonus time with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
You and I love that segment, so it was quite a treat to get to talk to her 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, but not only do I love talking to Sarah, but I also love that music. I always
yes.
just kind of want to sing a little, you know, but yes. you don't want to hear the assistant to the assistant to the assistant
no.
thing.
No, that would only affect your title in a negative way. So yeah, that I think people can count on the CU Times to keep us posted on what's transpiring with all of that. And because the news I thought last week was kind of downer. I mean, it's not great news certainly. I wanted to spend the second half of the show talking about the best of the decade. Part of our keynote session on Sunday in New Jersey is going to be about the best of the decade, sort of our take on products and services and trends that were huge to the 2000s. And as we are here on October 1st, the first day of the last quarter here in the 2010s, the 2000s, I guess you would call them, we're really looking forward to going out to New Jersey. And I'm actually thrilled that I get to meet Sarah in person.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
Right. Welcome back. You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. It is radio, it is free, and it is all about what is hot and happening in the credit union world. My name is Jason Dias, and we're broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And Troy, our wonderful assistant to the host, is joining us from South Carolina. So, Troy, if I were going to ask you, in your
yeah.
opinion,
yes.
best product of the 2000s, what would you say?
You know, I have... Oh, my goodness. I thought a little bit about this because, I knew you prepped me a little bit for this ahead of time. And one of the issues that I have in making some of this is the recency of the information has been this particular item has just been revolutionizing. And I really think it's the way that technology is moving the telephone, is moving the iPad, is moving
yep.
the connectability. And so for me, it really has to be that process, whether you want to define it to be the iPad or the iPhone or...
just the whole touch screen, sort of. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely, all of that. And I would think that from a brand perspective, that I think Apple has probably done a phenomenal job of pulling that brand together around that. What they did with the iPod specifically in changing it, and just the new Nano that just recently came out.
I've seen the commercials.
I'm loving it. You know,
this is a great test. Do people want to watch your commercials? I want to watch an Apple commercial. We actually have David Southall coming up a little bit later, and we asked him the same question, kind of what was his favorite brand type of thing. We'll see if he agrees with you on the Apple. I think perfect bookends to the decade is the iPod, which you spoke previously of, and the iPad. And I've told the story many times about when I brought my iPad into my son's K through 8th grade school, a little private school here in New Braunfels. The kids went crazy, not over the iPad itself, Troy, but the box it was in. And I had never, ever seen that kind of reaction. Well, joining us from right up the road from me in beautiful Austin, Texas, the city where I was born, is Kelsey Balkaitis. She is a community relations guru at A-Plus Credit Union in Austin, Texas. Good morning, Kelsey. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm great.
Hey,
I'm a big
Kelsey. Welcome.
Look, the studio audience here, Kelsey, is a very low-paid studio audience. Okay? They are a solid show. I mean, all they have to do is clap for the guests, but they're sitting there busily texting. There are a lot of them are young kids, college students and stuff like that. And we talked before the show. You're 23, so you are right in the heart of Generation Y on the younger side of Generation Y. And so we asked you, and I didn't even know what to call it, Troy, the best social media product didn't sound right, the best social media service. So I'm just going to ask Kelsey because she probably knows, and I'm a big fan of y'all's Twitters and everything that y'all do. What was the best social media thing of the 2000s, according to Kelsey?
Well, according to Kelsey, I would have to say that Facebook has definitely been one of the biggest in the 2000s. It's kind of paved the way for other social media sites out there. It kind of got everything started, and it's defined the way we've communicated and the way we socialize, pretty much. I mean, my generation is known as the me generation, and Facebook
right.
gives us the opportunity to
talk
about us.
Yeah, Would you say it's safe to say that Facebook legitimized social media and the connectivity online?
Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah, because MySpace really sort of, for me, came out before the real push for Facebook. But I did not find MySpace to be legitimized in how you could connect or who you could become or actually who people represented themselves to be. But in Facebook, it was very different because it was truly about connecting a relationship, much like the way we do with the credit union.
Exactly. Yeah, and I never really got into MySpace. I've never had a MySpace page.
Wow, and you were supposed to be their target audience.
Exactly.
And today, the social network, the movie premieres today,
yeah.
Does it not? Would you
yeah.
believe that we planned that when we sat down and wanted to do this show in the spring of this year? Troy said, hey, let's do a show on October 1st. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's actually – I would have a heart – I honestly thought you were going to say Twitter, but you're right. Facebook makes the social media experience certainly more personal. You can use it for your family. You can use it for your business. Twitter has that restriction on – space that I still think a lot of people need and enjoy sharing, and you certainly get that on Facebook. Well, Kelsey, we think you're right on the money there, so we want to thank you so much for joining us and taking a few minutes out of your day to give us your thoughts on that.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. All right, and that's Kelsey Balkaitis. Studio audience is great. Troy, can you believe that?
I know, really.
What do you think? You agree with that?
With what she said? Absolutely.
Yeah I do too.
I mean, I think that what happened with Facebook is Facebook, see, we're a visual society. And the way it works is that we have a visual response cues and audio response cues. And the one thing that I will tell you for sure is this, and we talk about this at work, you will never put off an audio response individual with a media presentation because it includes the audio. They'll just simply shut their eyes if they don't want to see it. But
right.
You have the ability to turn off your visually sensed person if you don't include some visuals in your presentation because the audio just isn't enough.
Right. Well, in the interest of time, I'm going to ask the studio audience to please, please hold their applause until we get to all of our guests. I mean, for $3, you'd think they would do it. Our next guest is Christina Bricado. She's the Vice President of Marketing at Premier Federal Credit Union in North Carolina. And our question to her was, of all the – you see a lot of financial marketing on Sundays when you're watching football and stuff like that. And so we want to welcome to the show Christina Bricado. And
I can see that the studio audience listens to you about as well as I do.
Yeah, I can tell that's true. Hey, Christina, what's going on?
Oh, you know what? We're actually getting our first day of sunshine since Sunday.
Yes, I know you need it. I hope it's cleared up when I'm flying into Philadelphia tomorrow morning. Hey, listen, you see a lot of advertising on TV with banks and investment companies and everything else. So we asked you, we kind of pared down to three. We said, you know, you got Bank of America with all the stuff they do, showing off all their cool new technology, kind of setting the trend. We said, what about the E-Trade baby? And, you know, gave you some other options. What did you pick? We said the Capital One What's in Your Wallet campaign has been going on probably since before the 2000s. But in terms of financial over-the-air, traditional TV marketing and otherwise, what would you say has been the best?
Well, it didn't quite stick to TV, but I do love that E-Trade baby. But actually, I thought – I went for the Young and Free campaigns.
Oh, Troy.
All right. Yeah, way to go.
Oh, our credit union audience is going to love you because I must admit, as the host of the show, I did not give them that option. I did not give you that option.
No, you that didn't. I thought about it, and I looked around.
Good for
and,
you.
You know,
good
that Young and Free campaign, they've got such a great thing going there and getting it marketed to credit unions all over the country. And I just really think they've got a really, really good thing going there, and they've just hit the nail on the head.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I went with that. Now, otherwise, I did also kind of look at MasterCard and their priceless advertising.
Yep. That's been going on a while, too, though.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where that fell into the mix, so ultimately I went with Young and Free.
Well, we appreciate you going with Young and Free, but I do have to tell you, I do think that the E-Trade baby stuff is just that is,
yes,
that
and,
is a hoot.
And Christina knows that we don't have to agree on this. And I would have probably picked the E-Trade baby only because it spoke, I think, generationally in a different way. But I can absolutely agree with Christina that all the young vibe that we feel now in the credit union marketplace, I would attribute to Young and Free back in 2008. So, Christina, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I call him D. South. He is the CEO of Innovations Federal Credit Union. Hey, David, what's up?
Hey, guys. Doing good. I didn't know you had so many people in your studio audience. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, when you advertise $3 a day, it's hard, but we also promise them that they get an 8.5 by 11 glossy of Troy to take with them, a signed copy of Troy's picture and his favorite.
Wow. Sure. So they're lining up. They're lining up, probably.
It's worth much more than $3.
That most of them have rodents in their basement, and they need help.
Hey, doing well here in Panama City. We have Thunder Beach going on this weekend, so there are a million motorcycles zooming by.
Wow.
It sounds like it is thundering out, but it's a beautiful day and a beautiful weekend here.
Well, we wanted to make sure we get everybody in. We get about 3 minutes left in the show, but I gave what I thought was the toughest question to you. Best marketing campaign, no holds barred, whatever it is, internet, telephone, in the mail, in the store, in the mall, what would David Southall, CEO of Innovations Credit Union, say it was for the 2000s?
Well, I'm going to say, and I think I'm just validating what everybody else is saying, it's definitely the Apple campaigns, whether it's the iPod, iPad. Can I tell you like a 30-second quick story?
By all means. Oh, yeah,
experience?
Yeah.
And why it works.
Sure.
I don't have an iPhone, unfortunately. I have a BlackBerry, but I have an iPod, and I wanted a book reader, so I looked at Kindle, I looked at the Nook, I looked at the iPad, and I'm like, I don't know which one I want. I opened a magazine, and there was an ad for the iPad, that showed a woman reading to her child the a story, Christopher Robin's, what is that
Winnie
story?
The Pooh.
Oh, shoot. Yes.
Yeah, it's the one that comes default on the iPad. I can look at it right now. I'm looking at it right
now.
Yeah,
and that when I saw that ad, I said, I've got to have one. And I didn't sleep that night until I had one. I had went to store after store finding one. I even bought a used one because I wanted it that bad. And it was because of their campaign and how out there they are. And it's just such what it's – everybody wants one. And I'm not a compulsive buyer, but I was that day. And I bought one that day, so I went to sleep with it.
Well,
here is
really cool.
We talked a little bit about it being a toy or a tool, and the reality is that the iPad is both. It can be a toy when you need it for that purpose, and it's also a tool. And my wife did a ton of research on those same products that you talked about, and she actually had one of the other ones and gave it up to get this one because it had so much more flexibility and functionality with it.
Wow.
Right. I use it more for other things than I do for reading, although that's why I bought it. But I find the functionality, the toy piece of it is much more fun.
Well, listen up. I agree with you. And you knew I would. I mean, with 9 seconds left of the show, I can tell you that I took my parents to the airport on Tuesday, and I had to spend the night at their house. And my little four-year-old nephew was there. And I read him, "Here is Edward Bear coming downstairs. Now bump, bump, bump on the back of his head behind Christopher Robin." From my iPad, and he thought it was the coolest thing. As I sat there reading to this four-year-old kid, I thought, is he ever going to own, I'm sure he will, own, you know, a binded book and stuff like that. But I absolutely agree with you. I think in many ways, you know, Apple, Troy, has really perfected the combination of technology and art.
Yeah, I agree.
And they've sort of, you know, made everything a generational experience. I don't know. I totally agree with David. And, you know, we're going to have to probably do another show like this and cover a bunch of other topics. About 45 seconds left in the show, Troy. I'll be out in Atlantic City this Sunday opening up the New Jersey Credit Union League show. If you're listening up in the Northeast, please come see us. We'll have Scott and Owen, our percussionist, performing. And with 30 seconds left in the show, Troy, why don't you close us out?
I would love to do that. And all I have to say is when you're in Atlantic City, please do not auction away all of my 401k money that you're going to promise me as a result of being on the show.
I've decided to take the planned raise I had for you for the final quarter, and I'm just going to take it to the craps table, see what happens. So wish me luck. And we'll see all of y'all next week live from Portland, Oregon, when Radio Free goes on the road. Troy, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, too, man. See you. Bye.
Take care.